Well, happy feast, everyone.
Happy feast.
All right. And happy family day. That's following Jason, that's kind of hard. He brings a lot of emotion and a lot of energy. So I'm going to try my best to bring a little bit of that today for you as well. But actually, we're going to do something a little different today. So when we were doing our pre-feast speaking calls, we were told because of the stage setup and just the technology we had that if we wanted to, we could wander a little bit on the stage. So I was like, well, I'm up for that. Why not, right? So what's the worst gonna happen? So if you see me kind of wandering a little bit, I'm not lost. I'm doing it on purpose. If you like how this is, come please after services, come tell me that. If you don't like this, find my wife. She's back there. Give her the complaints. She'll probably pass them on to me as well. But again, we're really excited to be here. We're from Dallas. We're from Texas. It's the first time we've been up in this area. And it's just really beautiful. And just really enjoying the feast. Just by a quick show of hands, and I'm known for this. You're going to have to bear with me today. I like taking quick straw polls in my messages. But how many of you are having a great feast? Show of hands. All right, awesome. I was hoping I was going to see a lot of hands. It'd been bad if no hands would have went up. This would have went a different way. So I'm glad the hands went up. No, we love the feast, don't we? We look forward to this time of year the whole year. If you're like me, you may already be thinking about next year's feast and where you're going to go and some ideas for it. We talked about that. And there's reasons. There's so many different reasons that we look forward to this day, this week, and the feast. But it's primarily because we get to escape the world, right? We escape the world. We escape the news. We escape all these negative things going on. And I think a lot of times, if you're like me, I know I do this, sometimes I focus too much on some of the negative things that I see in this world, right? All the things going on, the hurting, the pain, the issues that this world has. And what we love about this week is we don't think about that. We think about the future. We think about being in God's family, the reality of that. The fact that Jesus Christ is going to return. We are going to rise to meet him in the air. We're going to become part of the family. We're going to get to work. We're going to start helping and rebuild and doing all these awesome, awesome things that we talk about and we hear about. That's why we love this day, this week so much, is because it focuses on the future. Here's the thing, though. We go home. Today's day four, so we're halfway there. I don't want to depress you by that. I heard like an oh, I know, it's kind of sad. But that's the reality. We are going to go home. We're going to go back to school. We're going to go back to our teachers. We're going back to our work. We're going back to our neighborhoods. We're going back to life. We need to go home motivated, inspired, excited about the future. Not the world we're going back into, because that's not going to last. We're excited and our motivation and our focus and our thoughts are on the future. And that's why God brings us here, to motivate us and remind us of that, because we get drugged down so many times of just life. But God has this awesome calling. When you think about it, that each one of you here, out of all the billions of people in the world, God has said, I want you and you and you and each one of you and me, I want you in my family. The creator of the universe, who made these beautiful mountains and the awesome colors we see on the trees and the beautiful rivers and the lakes, he says, I want you in my family. That's awesome. That's our focus. That's what we should think about every day. That's where we're going. How many of you had the chance this year to either, as a camper or staff, go to youth camp? Show of hands. Okay, nice. I was able to go to two, a preteen and a teen camp. I love camp. I went as a kid and loved it. Before we had kids, I went to, you know, volunteer. I was so happy when my kids got old enough to go to camp. That way I could go to camp again. So I love camp. We talked about this, I think, in yesterday's message, but the theme of this year was Race to Your Crown. It was a phenomenal theme. I've been thinking about that since camp. And what that looks like and how we are in this race. And again, because the focus was the future, the focus is the crown. Being a member of God's family, living forever in his kingdom. And today, I want to kind of continue that theme as we are in this race, but again, focusing on the finish line, focusing on the finish line of where we're going with this. And again, with the mindset that God has brought us here to refocus us and motivate us to be thinking about His family. That's all that matters, is thinking about His family. So that's what we're going to do today in the time left. In the time left today, we're going to talk about, I'm going to share with you an experience, a story, a race that I ran. So my dad, when by the time we were real little, he got us into road racing. He ran several marathons, and so I remember being 8, 9, 10 years old, and we were doing like 5Ks, and so I've done so many 5Ks and 10Ks, and over my life, I've done 3 half marathons. And the story I'm going to share today with you is one of those half marathons that I ran. And as I share this story of this race that I ran with you, I'm hoping to give you some analogies. I love analogies. And so I want to share some analogies with you compared for our spiritual race that we're in. So that's what we're going to do today in the time that I have and in the message. And if you like titles for the message, it is Finish the Race. Okay, so the first aspect of any time you run in a race is you have to actually commit to running a race, right? So it'd been a several years since I'd ran my last half marathon, and I was like, oh, okay, I think I'm ready to do another one. So I kind of investigated some different races, where I wanted to go, found a race, and you know, made the payment, signed up, and I was committed. And the race was about 3.5 months away. Once I did that, once I made that commitment, well, I had to start making some changes, right? I had to start training. I had to start, as the race day got closer, I had to make sure I was eating correctly. I love ice cream, right? But you can't eat a bunch of ice cream, especially as the race is getting close. Not a good idea. There's certain things you need to eat. I had to make sure I was getting enough sleep, right? I had to make sure I was doing things, because once I committed to that race, I knew race day was coming. And I was going to be, you know, whether I wanted to or not, I mean, that day was coming. So I had to make some changes. So that kind of leads to point one. If you're taking notes again and you like points, point one is God is looking for a commitment from us. God is looking for a commitment from us. Now, for many of you sitting here, you've made that commitment. You made that commitment years ago. And you know the race that you're in, and you're committed, and you've been going with that. There are some of you in this room that are thinking about making that commitment, and there's some of you that haven't made the commitment yet. But at the end, God is looking for a commitment from us. If we want to be in His family, right, if that is our goal, if we want to do all these things that God is talking to us about, and we read in the scriptures, we've got to make a commitment to Him. And when you commit to Him, that means it's going to change the way you live your life, the things that you do. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for our first scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and the section begins in verse 24. In my Bible, it has little headings, and it says, striving for a crown. And Paul says here, we'll start in verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So again, this analogy that we're running in a race, right? It was what camp theme was built on. It's what we're talking about today. But we are in this race. But then we skip down to verse 26, and he says something very interesting. He says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Paul was saying this, once he had made this commitment, right? When we know the history of Paul, but he said once he had made this commitment to being in God's family, that was his desire, that was his goal, that it wasn't like he was just running this race, you know, haphazardly, that he was focused on certain things. That he was running with certainty, and he was living his life in a way that was moving him closer to that finish line in accordance with the way that God wanted him to. And so that's very important. In verse 27, it continues saying, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. And so again, the point for us is when we commit to this race, we're committing to living God's life, God's way of life, Now, whenever I was running, whenever I was training for my race, I have this 90-day plan that guides me. And it's really, I like it because it tells me on every day, from 90 days out, it tells me exactly what I need to do. You know, day 90, go run half a mile, you know, all the way up. And it tells you exactly what days to rest on, all these things. And so it allows me to focus on that and know exactly what I need to do. So that when race day comes, theoretically, I should be ready, right? I should be in good shape. I should have a plan in place because it's walking me through everything. It's telling me what I need to do to successfully run that race. God's done the same thing for us, right? We're not just running this race not knowing where we're supposed to go, not knowing what the rules are, not knowing what the requirements are. God has given us the training book, right? This book. Everything we need to know about this race is in here. Everything that we need to know about how to become a member of God's family, how to live forever in eternity, all the things that Jesus is going to do when he gets back here. I mean, everything is in this book. And so when we make a commitment to running this race, we're committing to studying this book. We're committing to using this as our training manual. We're committed to following this. Again, for those that have made this commitment, you know this. You've been training with this book forever. For those, we have a lot of young people here, young adults and teens and preteens. This is your training manual. This has the answers to everything going on in your life. This has the answers in the path to get to the end. Use this book. Use this book. So, I train, I've committed, and now race day is here. Race day is exciting. I love race day. I grew up playing sports, doing different things, so it's kind of like game day. So as you get too old to play things, you can, you know, if you're running, it's kind of like game day. So it's exciting. There's just kind of this atmosphere at the starting line. There's a lot of energy. There's music going. There's just lots of excitement because it's race day. There's something dangerous, though, about race day because there's lots of distractions, though, around you at the starting line. And they can mess up your race if you get too distracted, if you don't stay focused. So what I always do is, you know, I've got my earbuds in, I've got my music on, I'm focused, I've trained, right? I've trained, I've committed, so I feel good about where I am. I know what pace I want to run. I have a game plan for this. But there's so many things going on around. You have to stay focused. You can't become distracted. So I remember the gun goes off, and this is a big race. There's probably 20 to 25,000 people in this. It's a big one. It's at a famous location, and it's like I said, it was one of the reasons I wanted to go. So there's a lot of people there. And the starting line is just, it's kind of chaotic. So the gun goes off, and you just see random things. You see lots of distractions and people who are being distracted. Every race I've ever run, it never fails. People just go flying by me in a full sprint, right? And this is 13 miles, but 13 miles and they sprint by me in a full sprint. There's music going on, people get caught up and they're excited, and so you have to, you know, I always focus on making sure I don't trip and fall, right? Because there's people cutting in and out, and you never know what's going to happen. There was one race, I can't remember if it was this one, but there's literally somebody in a banana suit that ran by me. Now that's distracting. And I promised, he was in a banana suit, and he goes running by me. So you've got to stay focused, because you can ruin your race in those first few minutes. And all your training and everything that you did goes down the drain because you weren't able to stay focused. So I think you all know where I'm going with this. We have to be focused. We have to be focused. We can't become distracted. Let's go to Luke 10. Luke 10. And we're going to see a story here that I have always found to be really interesting, and I think it's a really good reminder for us not to become distracted, and how easily we can become distracted, even if we think we're doing right, and the issue that can come. So in Luke 10, the story begins in verse 38. So we'll just start there, Luke 10 and verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So this is Mary, Martha, and they had a brother named Lazarus. Very, very famous biblical family here. So Jesus and the disciples, and I'm sure a lot of invited guests, they're all in the home, right? Martha's throwing this this big party. We heard about that in Jason's TED Talk, right? So maybe in the kingdom, I imagine they can have some good conversations about how to throw a party and different things like that. But she was throwing this party. She was the hostess. But her sister was listening to Jesus. Look at the following verses, though. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. I feel for Martha. Like, this to me is a perfectly good question to ask. Jesus, like, there's all these people in the house. Like, I'm running around making sure drinks are provided and there's food and all this. And my sister, and she's just sitting there, like, listening to you. Like, can you tell her to help me? But look what Jesus told her. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Again, I find this amazing. And again, the second point here is where are you distracted? Are you distracted? Martha says, Jesus said, you're distracted. She wasn't doing anything bad. She was just trying to be a good hostess. But Jesus said, there's something more important going on now. I'm here. I'm the Messiah, you know that. I'm here in your home, I'm teaching, I'm speaking. That's more important than the meal right now. That's more important than making sure everybody has, you know, a full glass. What is your focus on? And that has to be our focus, right? Are we focused on the kingdom? Are we focused on God's family? That has to be our focus. Everything else is a distraction. Now, I'm saying this, I'm speaking to myself on this, because life is full of distractions. Again, we get distracted with our jobs and our schoolwork, our events that are going on in life. There's so many things in this world that can distract us. And all of you the young people here today, you know full well how many distractions there are out there right now. There are so many things in this world that Satan has devised trying to pull you away. And he doesn't care which one you choose, just choose one of them so that you don't focus on God's kingdom anymore, so that you don't focus on God's family anymore. There are things that you are dealing with that I never even dreamed of when I was your age. They're distractions, though. They're not real. There's nothing good in them. It's a lie. The only thing that matters is God's family, is the kingdom. That's the only thing that matters. And that's whether you're 5 years old or 85 years old. That must be our mentality. You know, I always think about on the race, it never fails. Miles go by, and I start seeing those people that ran by me early on, and I'm catching up to them. And some of them are walking. I caught up the banana guy pretty quick. he didn't last very long. But I don't think he was serious about it. He was the banana guy, right? So it wouldn't matter. But I always, as I'm passing these people, I kind of feel bad because they trained. They wanted to finish, but they got distracted at the beginning. They got distracted somewhere. I don't know if they ever finished. I mean, if you're walking at mile 4 or 5 and you still got 8 miles to go, I mean, did they even finish? I don't know. But they got distracted. They got off the game plan. They let something take their focus that they shouldn't have, and they probably didn't finish the race. We can't let that happen to us. We can't. And again, that's Satan's all objectives, right? He doesn't care which distraction we pick up on, just pick up on one of them, and he wins. Don't allow it to happen. Stay focused. Don't become distracted. focus on what's important. Keep our eyes on the future, where we're going. So, continuing the race. So I've settled in, it's probably about mile 6 or 7. I'm feeling pretty good, but this happens in every race, and this is just me. I'm sharing, letting you get inside my head. So most races I've ever done, it's kind of a circuit, right? It's not point A to point B, it's kind of you go out, and then you turn around and you come back. And this race was very similar. And when you get about halfway, what you start seeing is on the other side of the road, you start seeing all the people who are a lot faster than you and are more in shape than you, and they're already headed back. And so I just see all these people like coming the other way. And so I'm running, but I get down on myself. I'm like, man, Matthew, these people aren't so much better than you. You know, how much faster than you? They probably trained harder. You know, they probably didn't eat ice cream like you did. There's probably truth in that, but you know, I still probably take the ice cream. I'm okay with that. But just all these thoughts through my head, right? I mean, to me, I'm like in last place because all I see is the people that are better than me. But then I remember I hit the turn, and it was like this amazing sight, because remember, this was a big race, 20, 25,000 people. I make the turn, and I see thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were behind me that stretched for miles of people in that race, struggling just like I was, all going towards that same finish line, all with that same objective, going different speeds and different things, but they were all there racing. I wasn't by myself. I wasn't in last place. I was in the midst of, you know, thousands of people. Now, I will say, this is the carnal side of me. I was like, I'm doing pretty good. Like, look at all these people I'm beating right now. There's no spiritual analogy in that, by the way. So that was just that. But the race we're running now, though, is so different because that is what's so powerful, again, about the feast, because let's be honest, how many times, and this happens to me, how many times have you felt that everyone else is a better Christian than you are? No one else has the same problems. No one else has the same sins. No one else has the same weaknesses. Everyone's better than me. God's calling so many people, but God's not calling me. Why would God call me? We think that. Young people, you think this. No one else understands what you're going through right now. I remember being, you know, a teenager thinking, man, you know, everything's, no one understands what I'm going through. We think that. We think we're all by ourselves in this. We're all by ourselves in this. But let me ask, straw poll time again. How many of you, when you're at school or at work or in your neighborhood, or maybe even in your family, how many of you are the only one there who believes this way? Raise your hand when you're the only one. School, work, anywhere else. Hands up, lots of hands are up. That is what is so powerful about the feast. It's why God calls us together, because there are areas in our world that we live in our life where we are by ourselves. We are the only ones. But look around this room. You're in a room full of people that we all believe the same thing. We are all in the same race. We are all going towards the same finish line. We have all been invited by the Creator God, our Father, to say, hey, come join my family and live forever. I don't know what I'm going to do forever. That'll be exciting to find out, but how awesome is that? Forever? And so God has created this environment for us to work with each other and support each other. And I hope that you've had opportunities in these first 4 days to meet new people and expand your relationships, because that's what this feast is about. Because we're not by ourselves. We're working together. You know, I kind of joked about the part about where I was like, oh, well, I'm ahead of all these people. But the fact is, we're not racing against each other. We're all in the same race, and our job is to drag each other across that finish line if we have to. No one gets left behind. There's not just one crown for whoever finishes first. We're all going for our own individual prize. And our job is to help each other and support each other in that. Turn with me to John 13. John 13. And this is probably one of my favorite scriptures, favorite verses in the Bible. John 13, and we'll start in verse 34. This is Jesus Christ's words the night that he was arrested, right before he was arrested and crucified. John 13, beginning in verse 34. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." I mean, that is powerful that Jesus says this, that we are, our job is to care for each other, to support each other, to help each other. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of homework here for when you go home. I know all the kids are like, "What? Homework? I didn't know this was going to happen." When you go home and you're back in your congregations, for everyone here, for those that are older here in this room, go find a young person and introduce yourself. Ask them what their hobbies are. Ask them what they like. Ask them what they're into. Get to know them. For all you younger people here, here's your assignment. Go find an older person and introduce yourself. And ask them what their hobbies are. And ask them what they like. Ask them to tell you their story, what they've been through, what they've seen. Build these relationships. Build the relationships so that when one of you are struggling, there's someone else there to pick you back, right back up. When one of you are thinking, "I don't know if this is what I want anymore," you've got people around you that remind you, "No, this is what you want. This is what you want." It's what our calling is. It's not just about us. We're there to support each other. We're all in this race together. Everyone finishes. Everyone finishes. So now, you know, I've made the turn, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm about mile 9, 8, 9, settled in. No more bananas are running around me, so those have gone. Space is cleared. I'm running my race. Everything's good. And I'll never forget this because this only happened in this one race. It was my last half marathon that I've done. I've never done one since then. I hit mile 10, and this was so weird. It was my mind was immediately full of basically negativity. Like, I just immediately was like, "Why are you doing this?" Like, I wanted to be anywhere else in the world other than where I was. Like, "Matthew, this is the dumbest thing you've ever done. Like, why are you running 13 miles? No one's chasing you, right? There is no good reason to be here." I promise you, this is true. I thought about just get an Uber. You've got your phone. Uber, the finish line. I mean, I'm 3 miles away. Just take an Uber. This is dumb. And I'd never had that happen before. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, but then another part of me is like, "You're only 3 miles away. You did all this training. I mean, Betsy's at the finish line. She's waiting for you. If you show up in an Uber, she's going to be like, 'Where did you go? Like, what's going on?'" I mean, right? I mean, that would have been weird. So I've got one side saying, "Don't quit," and the other side saying, "You are stupid. Quit and stop this. Like, this is madness." So I keep going, though. Thankfully, that part of the side of that brain, it won, because I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. But the last 3 miles, literally, I mean, it was this fight going on of, like, quit. No, keep going. Quit. No, keep going. We have these times in our walk with Christ, in our spiritual walk, where there are times when things get really hard. You'll be going along really smoothly, and you think everything's going good. Man, everything's good. You know, this is easy. And then something out of nowhere just comes and knocks you down. A massive trial, a health issue, a relationship issue, a job issue, school issue. I mean, fill in the blanks. And it just knocks you down. And you're just like, I want to quit. Like, this is too hard. right? Because this race that God's put us in, it's hard, right? It is. It's not the easy one. It's not the easy race. It's hard. And so things happen, and it's like, I just want to quit. Every one of you here in this room know people that have quit. And how sad is that? And there may be people in this room right now who are thinking about quitting. Don't quit. Keep one foot going in front of the other. Don't give up. Focus on the family. Focus on the future. Focus on what matters. Think about that as your focus. Don't quit. No matter what, don't quit. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8 is our final verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. This is an important verse, and again, I think it makes a little bit more sense for us here at the feast. Because here at the feast, that's the amazing part, and I think I told the teens this during the Bible study. We love this week, but God is giving us like this little bit of what the future looks like. It's just this little bitty crumb of taste that God gives us once a year of what is waiting for us. And the fact that we would give that up for something as short-term as this physical life, when you think about it that way, it makes no sense. We love this week, and it's nothing compared to what is waiting for us. Paul understood that in Romans 8 and verse 18. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And our minds, like I said, our minds can't fathom what God has in store for us. And what he's saying here is like, it won't matter when Jesus returns and we rise and meet him in the air. Nothing that we experience in the pains and the hard times and the struggles, it won't matter. They won't matter anymore. When I crossed that finish line, and the person stood there and put this around me, my cool medal, everything that previous 13 miles, it didn't matter anymore. Like, I wasn't tired anymore. Those thoughts went away. The training that I did, the bowls of ice cream I gave up, right? It didn't matter. I had crossed the finish line. I had my medal. That's what I came for. Nothing else mattered anymore. This is what we're here for. This is what we're here for. We're going to get our medal. We're going to get across that finish line. And nothing in this life is going to matter anymore, because we have forever. And all these awesome things that we hear about, I mean, helping Jesus turn around this world and deserts and planting flowers and kids running around, you're going to play with lions and tigers and bears and, you know, all these things. It's real. It's not a fantasy. It's not pretend. It's real. It's going to happen. And we have a front row seat for it. God says, just keep going. Finish the race. Finish the race. That's all we have to do. There's nothing more important in this life than becoming a child of God. That's the reality. There is nothing else. That is what we are here for, to become a child of God, to become a member of his family. There are counterfeits out there. Satan has lies and deceptions and distractions everywhere, but they're not real. They're fake. There's only one thing that matters, and God's kingdom is it. And there's nothing in this world that's worth quitting this race over. There's nothing. No matter what your friends tell you, no matter what your teachers tell you, no matter what's on TikTok or Instagram or your boss or anything else, there is nothing in this world worth quitting this race over and missing out on your medal. Brethren, I pray that we all go home excited about this, pumped up, motivated, inspired, renewed in our desire and our commitment to finish our race, to cross that finish line and receive our crown.